Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. We get to talk to Dane Wigington this hour. Geoengineeringwatch.org, the world's premier website when it comes to what they're doing to our atmosphere. What they are doing to our atmosphere is destroying it, bottom line. Not that only, but they're allowing UV A, B, and C levels to come in much higher than before. I was out yesterday. I could feel my skin through my shirt was actually, it was burning. It felt like it was burning. Not on fire burning, but it was hot, and it had a tinge to it. It was not pleasant. This is UVB or UVC or both, and they are being allowed to come in at greater levels all the time. If you've looked at the map in California and looked at their big fire up north, it's right near the Oregon border. It's the McKinney Fire. The firefighters are allegedly making some progress with it, but I think it's 70, 75,000 acres burned now. And believe me, everything you see on any map you look at, from Redding, oh hell, Southern California, all the way up to the Canadian border and beyond, is all ready to go. They could start fires all day long and have nothing but success after success. It's bad, and it's not going to get any worse. Dane, welcome back. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Jeff, it's an honor. Again, thank you for your relentless effort to pull back the curtain and expose the insanity. And we hope at geoengineeringwatch.org that the gravity of this issue, we know there's many challenges we face, but if the planet's life support system, starting with the atmosphere, are damaged beyond any recovery, and further, the elements they're dispersing, at any point in time, they can make that lethal mix, or it's already lethal, they can make it much, much worse. From every perspective, this is the battle we have to engage in, we have to win, or nothing else will matter.
Nothing else will matter because we won't be here.
Correct.
It's that simple. Where we are facing, on several levels, I hate to say this, but let's start with Fukushima, work through where you always focus your energy on the climate and the destruction of the atmosphere. This planet has a little, thin, tiny atmosphere, and our military and whoever else, they are destroying it. No question about it. And when that's gone, we're gone. And someone told me, and I don't know if this is true, Dane, but someone told me there is a method or there's a way to ignite the entire atmosphere because it's oxygen, certain percentage of it, and other things in it as well. And I'm wondering if some of these other things they've been dumping in there via chemtrails might be flammable. I mean, there's that talk out there. I hear it now and then.
Well, certainly we have atmospheric methane counts going far higher than they've ever been. In fact, they're about four times higher now than they've been for several million years, and that should be a cause of immense alarm. Yeah. It's that high. We've had readings as high as 3,000 ppb parts per billion, and it hasn't been over about 700 ppb for several million years. So, yes, Fukushima by itself, as you've so correctly stated so many times, is an ELE, extinction-level event, given enough time. But the other factors that are converging on us now, starting with the destruction of the protective layers of the atmosphere, mathematically, statistically, will hit us sooner if it continues on the current course. Right now, we face what could be functional ozone layer collapse in as little as 18 to 24 months. And the UVC that you mentioned earlier, and you're correct, we are getting it on the surface. We are told by all official sources that UVC is stopped 100,000 feet up in the atmosphere. No, we're getting it on the surface in very significant amounts. Not being disclosed. And to corroborate one more point you just made, how thin the protective layers of the atmosphere are. If the ozone layer, without which we would not be here, if the ozone layer was condensed to a single molecular layer at sea level, it's about as thick as two dimes, about 6 millimeters thick. That's what allows us to live on this planet.
I had no idea. That is stunning. Wow.
It's shocking.
All right.
And to treat it this way.
How much of the ozone is gone from where it normally is? How far down off the norm are we? Now, you mentioned something about a million years, but what about the ozone?
Consider that the ozone layer density waxes and wanes. It's not going to feel the same every day. It's fluid in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So some days feel much worse than others. Also, Jeff, in the days when, as you know, because you and I live fairly close together, when they put the install the ionosphere heater created high-pressure dome that they have labeled a ridiculously resilient ridge, and it completely dries out the atmosphere. Humidity goes down to single digits sometimes. And you know how intense the UV feels on those days because they have eliminated atmospheric RH, moisture content. And so the moisture blocks some of the UV as well. So in those days when there's no atmospheric moisture, the UV feels even worse. So you have that factor as well. But if we look at overall concentrations right now, to go back to your original question, you have areas that have a functional ozone layer hole in them right now below 220 Dobson units. So it's a depletion of what would have been a historical norm of can be 70-80% in some regions. And that's people need to understand the gravity of that.
That's a lot. And that's why I swear I felt like, well, you felt, your skin feels like it's been singed through your clothes.
You can feel it. And UVC is a DNA. That's a DNA damaging spectrum. So your listeners understand how the scale works. You have UVA, UVB, UVC, and then X-ray. We're told 95% of incoming UV is UVA, 5% UVB. Again, we're told UVC stops 100,000 feet up, no X-ray, of course. So we're getting now levels of UVB that in some cases are 10 times higher than we're being told. UVC, significant amounts on the surface. We think we've detected some trace levels of X-ray. That's indicative of an ozone layer that's very near functional collapse. People should pay attention to their senses. That the sun is hot on their skin, not because they're getting older or more sensitive. It's because the atmospheric protective layers, the ozone layer, is collapsing. And back to Fukushima and the other 440 nuclear power plants around the globe, without our protective atmosphere, now we're very susceptible to a CME. We've talked about this before, coronal mass ejection. I know you know this. Many of your listeners know it. But because of the damage to the atmosphere, now we're much more vulnerable to a CME that would take out grids all over the globe. Nuke plants can't cool themselves. Fukushima times several hundred.
That's amazing. Now, as far as the sea getting down, UVC getting down to the ground level in any measurable commodity, that's not supposed to happen, friends, just so you know. UVB is normally around 5, 6% at ground level. If you've ever been in a tanning salon, your bed is carefully calibrated to be around 5 or 6% UVB. That's the industry standard. Now, if Dane's saying that in point of fact we're getting UVB up to 45-50%, that's stunning. That is absolutely stunning. That's why a lot of trees are dying. Oh, they're dying of no water, but if you burn them with UVB, they'll start dying from the top down. I've seen it, and I don't know how you view it, but I'd say that's UVB certainly a factor.
The UV is a major factor in killing the crowns of trees. And also, since we've last communicated, Jeff, we have peer-reviewed science study from the Atlantic on plankton populations confirming what geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record for the last decade plus, that plankton populations were crashing. The confirmation we have from the Atlantic is a plankton population crash of 90%. That should be headlines everywhere around the world. No plankton, no people. Very simple.
That's another ELE potential. This is crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And nobody's talking about it. And this is the Atlantic?
The Atlantic. 90% decline peer-reviewed study. And they've done everything they can to sweep that under the rug. 4 or 5 weeks before that, we had peer-reviewed study surface on the ozone scenario. I know you saw that. The peer-reviewed science study, they've done everything they can to marginalize that group now, to sweep it under the rug, acknowledging a permanent ozone hole over much of the planet, exposing a majority of the population. No one else has acknowledged it, and they do everything they can to crucify anyone who attempts to bring these issues to light.
And this is a global issue. I want to repeat what you just said. It's not just North America here or the Northern Hemisphere. It goes everywhere. We have ozone all over the place. People used to think we had ozone in only a couple of three areas over the planet's surface, above the planet's surface. But that's not true. It's a planetary-wide, it's a salvation for us. Ozone is essential.
Atmospheric ozone, yeah. And so people understand the difference between atmospheric ozone and surface ozone, two very different phenomena. Surface ozone, bad. Atmospheric ozone, essential. So just yeah. So people separate the two. But in the Southern Hemisphere, NASA took readings in 2004. If you put it on the current UV radiation schedule of what they had at that point was 1 to 12, I believe, the readings they got in the Southern Hemisphere in South America would have been about 45, comparable to the surface of Mars. And they did not acknowledge that till 2017, that they actually measured UV radiation in South America because the ozone depletion was so severe, the UV radiation levels they got were comparable to the surface of Mars, their words, not mine.
Are you still looking at vast swaths of dead trees around your area? You must be.
More every day.
Are they trying to log them out of there? What are they doing with them?
No, nothing you can do when they're at that point. And what I mean, the die-off is so severe. All the fir trees are dying. This is a region here, just like you, it was predominantly firs before. And and for your listeners to understand all the factors killing the trees, again, you have more life forms living below the surface of the soil than above. You should have. But when you have toxic rain with aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, not only kills soil microbiome, affects root systems, the whole below surface ecosystem breaks down. So the trees are dying from the roots up. They're dying from the crowns down, as you already mentioned. When they do get rain, it's toxic, so it's not reviving or rejuvenating the trees.
Unreal. Unbelievable.
From every direction.
Dane, how much longer can this go on before we really have a massive environmental catastrophe that we're not going to return from very easily, if at all? This is really on the edge. We're right at the edge.
On that note, and that's the part that's so unpalatable for the vast majority, Jeff, again, you can be an occupant in a car that has flown off the cliff, and you can feel like everything's still okay in that car, your moments from impact in the bottom of the canyon, and that is our position. It might feel like there's still conditions that fuel the normalcy bias in people, but in fact, we are hurling through the air toward the bottom of the canyon right now, and it's not centuries away. It's not decades away. It's here now. I mean, we are actually starting impact now because there's so many feedback loops in place. There's so many factors so far past the breaking point. Power structures doing everything they can to pacify the populations. Jeff, as we spoke off air as well, are you not astounded at the theater of idiocy on mainstream TV that has no relevance at all with the existential immediate threats that are kicking in the front door right now? And we're watching total absurdity on mainstream media, are we not?
I honestly, my friend, I don't watch it. I see clips here and there. And what I do see, having been a former news anchorman and news director in television for 12 years before it went so bad, it's so obscene now. It has very little to do with life on this planet as we used to know it. It's another world. It's part of programming. That's why they call it programming. You're programming the masses not to confront or have to even think about the irreversible damage being done to our planet's surface and that little area. Remember, there's only a few inches of topsoil, and most everything that grows is interactive with that little tiny thin strip, which is often gone in agricultural areas completely, and they have to remake it with chemicals and synthetics and fertilizers and all the rest of it. But we have such a disconnect through the local mainstream media with what's going on here. I don't know how that bridge could ever be made between what the hell is happening to this planet, what has been intentionally done to this planet, and there's no stopping it, and what we're being told on the mainstream media. Your point is well taken. Perfect.
As are yours. I mean, that thin layer of, quote, soil, there's a big difference between soil and dirt. And you're profoundly right. And on the wildfires, I want to drive this point home because that is a key aspect of climate engineering. They are absolutely facilitating the conditions that are allowing these epic burns. The source of ignition is another subject, not talking about that. We're talking about what's establishing conditions for these fires to burn with such ferocity. We've already covered some of those conditions. But for your listeners to understand, again, not only cutting off the hydrological cycle, but killing the trees from the top down, the ozone, toxic rain, more dry lightning. These are electrically conductive particles, and the friction they create when they interact in the air creates more static buildup. You have much, much more dry lightning. They're incendiaries, as you know. They coat the forest foliage, the forest floor. From every conceivable direction, climate engineering is the core causal factor for the fires. And we're not denying that we've been horrible stewards of the planet. People misconstrue what I'm saying. It's not a this or that equation. It's a this and that. But in the case of the fires, the most significant factor of all, by far, is climate intervention operations. And I would encourage your listeners to search one of our most important reports of all. It's called Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda. What we found, peer-reviewed science study, advocating for the burning of northern latitude forests to provide temporary cooling for the Arctic, because that smoke ends up over the pole because of the Coriolis effect, the spin of the planet. Think how insane that is. To advocate for burning forests to mimic the short-term cooling effect of a volcano in order to mask the meltdown in the Arctic. Is that not the epitome of insanity?
It is insane, and it suggests to me that I don't want to get out into science fiction land, but it's almost, Dane, like somebody or something is terraforming this planet into something it isn't. For what reason, I couldn't tell you. It's like it's being remade. The formatting of Earth is being changed. It looks like that to me. And that's a stretch, but I can't discount it completely.
What I would say in this particular case, and again, I know it's a inconceivably large universe. I can't imagine we're alone here. In this particular case, we have a chain of events leading back to humans behaving poorly the entire way through. And if we look through their lens of wanting to maintain their power, their stranglehold on power, maintain business as usual till the last possible moment, you can see their rationale that even if they have to incinerate Earth's last remaining life support systems to mask the severity of what's unfolding in the Arctic from the population, to pacify them till the last possible moment, that's what these types of individuals would do. We're not dealing with sanity. Does a drug addict care that the next fix might kill them? They don't care.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with that type of addiction. But we do have a chain of events, a chain of human actions and behavior and military-industrial complex rationale going back to the very inception of all of this.
Well, thanks for elucidating on that better than I did. It's true. These people have no concern. First of all, let me back up. They have no concern for human life. Unless it's their own life and their own people. And I'm talking about the elite at the top, whatever you want to call them. They don't care about us. We're nothing. We're digits in a computer, 8 billion digits so far, and they're in the process now of beginning to reduce that. How far will they get? I think as far as they want, frankly. I don't see any resistance, Dane. I don't. I look. I see nothing. I see people walking around reacting. I see people walking around in a daze. I don't see people walking around in many cases because they're homesick. They've gotten these injections. They're not well. You know the game. And so do the controllers. And they gamed all this. Speaking of games, they gamed all this on supercomputers for years, for over 20 years, according to Robert Malone. I have it on video. So they've been gaming it for over 20 years, and not just this country, others as well. So whatever is happening out there is happening according to the playbook. They know what they're doing. Will it get out of hand? Maybe. Maybe it already is. I don't have an answer. I do know that we can't continue. We're going to hit the bottom of that canyon very soon. We're in the car.
We are.
And it is going down.
I'm with you on all your points, and I would take it even a leap further, that not only do they not care about the populations are at this point a rapidly increasing liability for those in power. They are desperate to thin the herd. How incredibly obvious can that be at this point for anybody who's even slightly awake? And this is where the reality we face becomes unpalatable for many. They still want to cling to the belief that we're going to, quote, go back to normal. The party's
no,
over.
In denial.
It's done.
Total denial.
No.
They're in denial.
Party's
they just
over.
Can't take it.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Done.
I was in a pharmacy 2 days ago, walking past where people go up to get their pharmacy goods, and there was a guy walked up to the window, and the clerk said, "Can I help you?" He says, "I'm here to get my booster." And the clerk said, "Well, just walk down to your right, sir. We'll be right with you." So there, people are just getting boosted and injected, and they are not slowing down. 80% approximately in this country have been injected. And there are people out there who are a lot smarter than I am who say that anyone who's gotten even one legitimate real shot with the spike protein in it, an mRNA-produced spike protein, they're done. They're done. Slow burn, fast burn, doesn't matter, but they're done.
I think all available data completely corroborates your conclusion. And
I hate to say it.
But the data backs it up. If we look at VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Recording System, or the EnduraVigilance, the statistics are beyond shocking. I mean, we're way into seven figures. And as you know, that's thought to be maybe as low as 1% of the actual damage being done. I mean, when we have people in our own circles, in my case, my own father-in-law and my own stepfather both ended up in ER within hours after being injected. Both in and out of the ER 10, 12 times each. Neither one's better still. They're done. They're on borrowed time right now.
Yeah.
And so if there's that many in my circle, I mean, how bad is it? We hear about people all the time that just died unexpectedly, people in our own circles. So again, this puzzle is not hard to put together for anybody that's willing to look at the horizon clearly.
No.
That the planet can no longer support the population. That's a fact. And just because the elites say that, that doesn't mean that, I must agree with them and agree with what they're doing. Of course not. They don't have a right to choose who lives and who dies. But the fact is, Jeff, we wouldn't be in this dark corner if we had a population that would have chosen to face reality much sooner and not facilitated what those in power are doing, because they couldn't do what they do without the active or passive support of the majority population. That's an undeniable fact. We've seen the enemy and he is us. We need to understand that.
Yeah.
So population needs to decide while they're here or why they're here. Is it just a personal pursuit of pleasure, Disneyland and a cruise trip? And is that why we're here? No, we're here, especially if we have children, to try to ensure some sort of a future for our posterity. And that means we engage in this fight with everything we have. Priorities first. We have to seal the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat first. And that starts with the total disruption of Earth's life support systems and the contamination of every single breath we take.
You know, the sad thing is, I'm going to take a break here real quick, but people, when they look at the planet and they try to envision the entire big picture and the whole panorama, they look at everything in pieces, Dane, as you well know. They don't connect it. They can't do it. It's just something that's not taught to them anymore. Maybe it was at one point. But they look at the sky, well, that's one thing. They look at a creek, that's another thing. They look at a stream, a lake, a mountain, a beach. No, it's all part of the same. It's inexorably linked, and people don't get it, or they don't want to get it, either or. All right, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Dane Wigington.
Great point, though, Jed. Great.
Thanks. All right, geoengineeringwatch.org. Make it a must stop on your itinerary of critical sites to visit every day. Be right back. One of the most important documentaries you will ever see is called The Dimming. It's Dane's masterwork to date. He's always putting out superior material, but The Dimming is a stunner. And you can see it at geoengineeringwatch.org. Just go there, scroll down. It's right there in the middle. And it's a must view. And pass it around. And if you're not familiar with geoengineeringwatch.org, understand that he's had over 41 million visitors. 41 million. So I think you'll get the idea of the importance of the data that you'll find there, the images, all the stats, the whole works. I was really interested. You filed a lawsuit against one of these fact checkers. I swear, every fact checker I have seen to date is obvious to me either compromised, a shill, or an outright government functionary. They're out there always claiming to be fact checkers. When anything they disagree with comes up, they fact check it and they they debunk it. They try anyway. So what's the deal with the lawsuit on that? Just briefly.
Thanks for asking. This particular individual, Dr. Douglas McMartin from Cornell University in New York, maliciously got the dimming and every bit of geoengineeringwatch.org material flagged with Facebook, not by offering any proof, not by offering any duplicate testing, not by offering anything else other than I, Douglas McMartin, say it isn't so. That's it. So what he did was malicious in that I've debated this individual on the air. There are certain requirements for a, quote, Facebook fact checker. No previous history with any individuals involved, no obvious axe to grind. And he lied about all of that, clearly, and presented himself as a, quote, fact checker. I'm the only source. Geoengineeringwatch.org is the only source he, quote, fact checked before or since. Clearly a malicious act. I debated him on the air 4 years earlier. He did not fare well because the data is on our side. He carried a vendetta ever since. So this is a means for which we can get at the cause itself by getting into discovery. So in the course of trying to get into discovery, the last message we got from the judicial system in the courts here in California was they canceled our court date. They said, don't call us, we'll call you. We're going to take it into consideration. We'll get back to you someday. That is not serving justice. We're about to appeal that right now to the Ninth Circuit Court. But what that is selective justice. They do not want to deal with this, and they have tried to shove it under a rug. Your listeners can look at our 30-page complaint at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. They can read the entire complaint and the data in there. I think they'll be shocked at the amount of data we have. We have a rock-solid case to get at this issue through this particular disinformation. He is one of the prime geoengineering disinformation, as you said, shills. Cornell University, Carnegie Science, Caltech, and MIT. So, yes, we are trying to make an example out of this individual that is the epitome of the so-called fact-checker disinformation platforms.
Oh, it's a network. It's a worldwide network. Fact-checkers. No. Fraud perpetrators in most cases. Here's another one. Now, we're watching Lake Mead turn into a still water pool, I guess they call it. It's dropping, I don't know how much a day. They had some rain there, but it did virtually nothing. I think it added 2 or 3 inches, and then that was gone in the next day because they're losing 3 inches or more a day. So there's another thing that's been going on there for years. I ran two stories about it, one anyway. One of them, the device is called the third straw, like soda straw, okay, like you drink a Coke with or whatever. And they drilled this very deep with an underground tunnel boring machine. They drilled a 24-foot wide tunnel, concrete lined, under the lake. It's a 3-mile-long drill job, and it's been going on for quite some time. And I think they're going to take every last drop, as your title says, out of the lake to feed Las Vegas with water. 3.5 million people. It's a Deadpool. That's what it is. Yeah,
Deadpool,
go ahead.
You're completely correct. Already the hydro turbine power is down to, I believe, 27-28%. So the title of our article at geoengineeringwatch.org, it's under the recent and top story sections, Drilling Under Lake Mead to Drain the Last Drop. Everything you stated is exactly correct. This was a $1.5 billion project that they started the initial planning on 20 years ahead of time. So, again, how did they know to prepare
to this degree?
Correct. Damn. And the point is to keep the, I would argue from the powers that be, wherever this money came from, the point is to keep the party going in Vegas, again, till the last possible moment. Because if Vegas completely imploded, that would be a massive red flag for the rest of the world. And those in power want to avoid that type of red flag as long as they can. So, again, when water can't flow over the dam anymore, Vegas now has the means with this bathtub drain. And we have all this film footage of that tunnel being built. We got it from the American Geophysical Union. It's in our post. And it's shocking footage.
I got to go look at that. I'm going to go look at that later. Those tunnel boring machines are quite amazing. And I don't know how you feel, but I'm convinced and have been for a long time that there's a tunnel system coast to coast under this country.
I think there's an extensive network more than we would ever imagine. This particular tunnel boring machine was manufactured for this specific project because it is most extraordinary in that it was 15 atmospheres of pressure because they were 600 feet down. So it was an extraordinary project, unbelievable engineering effort to do this. And again, how did they know that they would even need to do this?
20 years ago.
2002 is when the first wheels started to turn on this project. And for your listeners to understand this is really important. I want to back into a couple points. First, it must rain more on a warming planet. The planet is absolutely warming at blinding speed. We believe from frontline data we are past 3.5 degrees C of warming now. It's being hidden. We're seeing temperatures on the frontline everywhere we check falsified to the downside. The official high temperature is routinely 3, 4, 5 degrees less than what we're getting readings from the ground. So we must have more overall rain on a warming planet, and we don't. We have deluge in many areas, epic biblical scale deluge, but we have unimaginable drought in so many agricultural areas. That is not coincidence. That is climate engineering. The only way it cannot be raining more overall on a warming planet is if there's a factor we're not being told about. That factor is climate engineering, period. Stops direct sunlight, which thwarts evaporation, affects convection, which slows evaporation. Again, from every conceivable direction, climate engineering is derailing the planet's life support systems.
Wow. Well, this issue about Las Vegas must not be allowed to implode and collapse. It's a symbol. That's very interesting that you would say that. And you're right. It is a symbol. It's kind of like Disneyland for adults. And if Disneyland dies, that would be psychologically very abusive and abrasive to the planet. Las Vegas. Always alive, always fun, always there. That's what they want you to think. It's not always going to be there. Not if they keep doing this. I don't know how could the planet restore the missing water to Lake Mead and Lake Powell above it? How could that happen? How much rain would need to fall? This is a rhetorical statement and a question. You don't have to answer it. But you've got to think about this, dear friends. There's no way that in 2 or 3 years they're going to be able to replace all that water. No, it's not going to happen. Forget it. I don't know how long it might take. But go ahead.
A long time, and we're still heading in the wrong direction. Yes. We can see them cutting off our storm track. And it's not coincidence. It's not speculation or theory or conjecture. We can see it on satellite imagery. During your commercial break, there was a very correct and on-target mention of oxygen deprivation. And we do have, in fact, plummeting atmospheric O2 levels.
Yeah,
we have the plankton population crashing. Plankton is the largest supplier of atmospheric oxygen on the planet, about 50%. Second greatest former source of oxygen, the boreal forests.
The lungs of the planet.
Not anymore. The forests don't smell like forests anymore because, again, back to geoengineering, not just the UV, not just the intense heat under the ionosphere created high-pressure heat domes, but the desiccant particles, starting with aluminum, that absorb all atmospheric moisture. We're seeing humidity levels now half or a third of what they should historically be. So the trees shut their stomata, their respiratory ports. They do not breathe. They're not absorbing carbon. They're not releasing oxygen. Forest doesn't smell like a forest because it's not respirating. It's not breathing. So again, our major sources of oxygen have been completely derailed at this point. Oxygen content is dropping. And all of these converging factors are extinction level scenarios. So again, if we don't stop this intentional interference with the planet's life support systems that's contaminating every single breath we take, how is that not an immediate fight for life, Jeff? How long can we hold our breath?
How long can we hold our breath? I remember as a kid, I remember when I first came up here. You were walking in the forest, walking in the trees, sweet smell. It was still there. Not as strong as it was when I was a little kid, but no more. It's got a dry smell. There's nothing rich, moist, green, verdant. It's not the same kind of – it's gone. It's just gone. It's just air. There's no perfume in it anymore. Nature's perfume is gone.
It's completely gone. Yeah, and the degree to which the forest has changed here on the east side of Lake Shasta where I live is absolutely staggering. In 15 years, it's a completely different environment. When I would camp in the woods 15 years ago, you couldn't sleep past dawn because there were so many birds. Now it is virtually silent. In fact, deafeningly silent. No insects. Let's plug that in the equation. When you see these estimates, Jeff, mm-hmm. the insect population down 80 to 90%. So we still see the so-called climate science community saying this or that is going to happen in 2050 or 2100. And those estimates are simply designed to pacify populations. And not that it's not bad enough if it was that close. But in fact, it's here now. And those estimates are completely baseless. And we've lost already 70%+ of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years alone. That's not counting what we lost before that. Insect populations down 80 to 90%, plankton 90%. We're there. I mean, we're neck deep in the sixth mass extinction on this planet. And what's happening now, and this is important, it's happening hundreds, if not thousands of times faster than any previous paleo event, which makes it exponentially worse. What was the equilibrium period after the most comparable extinctions in Earth's past, the Petum mm-hmm. event 55 million years ago? Equilibrium period about 10 to 20 million years. What's happening now is far worse. So when people think you can just buy a solar panel and a Prius, and also the commercial I heard on the break, a correct mentioning of the electric fields and electric cars, that's a problem too, as your break commercial clearly, correctly right. stated. And mm-hmm. so people think if they buy an electric car or a solar panel.
Worst thing you could do is buy an electric car, in my view. I hate them. It's just me. They disgust me.
it doesn't save anything. When we look at where those materials are coming from, you can't dispose of those batteries. There's only a few places in the country that will take those batteries because they are so incredibly toxic. They can't be recycled by only a few sources, and even then it's not productive. There's electric cars aren't saving anything, and they're plugging into a grid which is producing electricity from coal. How simple is all this? But yet it's pushed. It's pushed and propagated. I'm with you.
I know. There was forgive me for repeating this, all of you heard it, but there was a very big and fascinating study in Los Angeles County. They have fleet vehicles, whether they're, for electric service or whatever. They have fleet vehicles for the county. Various agencies in the county have their own fleets of cars. And they took one fleet of trucks and cars, and they put them on the roads with an ozone generator in the exhaust system. This is a terrestrial ozone generator, all right? And they found that it actually made the exhaust almost perfectly clean in terms of air quality. It took care of the pollutants in the gasoline-fueled fleet vehicles. There was a big story about this in L.A. Times, and this goes back 30 years now. And it was hailed as a breakthrough to making, petroleum-fueled, and please don't ever say fossil fuel. It's petroleum is what it is. Petroleum-fueled cars, safe and sane in terms of exhaust. The story disappeared. The study was buried. Not another word about it. They have the means to make the exhaust perfectly safe. Okay? There's so many things we're being lied to. Look at Stanley Meyer. He figured out how to crack hydrogen off the H2O molecule, and they killed him. Hydrogen was fueling his dune buggy, and the military came out to visit him, and he was dead 2 days later. They don't want alternative fuels that are clean. They want the paradigm and the status quo to continue because the big money makes big money. It's all about money. It's not about us. Anyway,
which won't matter for much longer. Again, it's the pirates filling their pockets with loot on the sinking ship. It's not going to matter much longer. And in regard to blaming it on other things, you've probably seen now the most recent volcanic eruptions are now having a finger pointed at them for being the source of ozone depletion. And the water vapor, that's exactly what they're doing. They find a scapegoat. Not that that's not a problem in and of itself, but in comparison with the global three-quarters of a century-long climate intervention insanity, which includes microwaving the atmosphere, that is by far the single greatest causal factor for ozone depletion. But now they scapegoat a volcanic eruption, the one that just happened in the South Pacific, and now Iceland is starting to happen. But they will scapegoat something like that so people think, oh, this is just some act of nature, which it absolutely is not. So, again, we can't say at this point, we couldn't call any weather cataclysm natural at this point. The entire system has been disrupted, and we can speculate on the degree to which any individual event was manipulated, but the entire system has been derailed. So at that point, can we call any event anywhere a natural event? No, we can't. None.
What a good point. What a critically important point. Wow. Yeah, I keep the study they did on those fleet vehicles in L.A. County years and years ago with O3, simply a little O3 corona discharge unit put in the exhaust system, cleaned up the exhaust. They don't want to do it. That's my point. They don't want to do it. It's not benefiting them to the extent that they're going to allow the money to be spent to do it. They don't want to admit anything anyway. So, okay, geoengineeringwatch.org, go there. The dimming, watch the dimming, please. And then I'm on that Lake Mead article, The Last Drop. I got to look at this one. That's a good one.
If we can convey to people that, again, we face many challenges, but if we don't deal with this, we won't have the time to deal with anything else. And the immediacy of what's unfolding, I cannot stress that enough. Mathematically, statistically, this equation could not be more nonlinear. Once these systems of planetary life support start to domino, that's what's happening. And climate engineering, again, fueling that overall fire. We are perilously close to hitting the wall. So we need everyone, all hands on deck, to help us force this issue to light. If we could get the insanity in our skies brought to light, Jeff, I would argue that populations around the globe would know what their governments have done to them without their knowledge or their consent. If we could accomplish that, we would have them taking to the streets with their proverbial pitchforks and torches, looking for everyone involved, including mainstream media, who are accomplices to the cover-up of these crimes.
100%.
And we need to reach that point. We need to reach it now. Tomorrow's too late.
We are out of time, and I know that's not pleasant news for a lot of you, although this audience, I think, can be accepted because you're very wise about things. But the average person out there doesn't understand. They just don't. I do truly feel sorry for them. They've been dumbed down by the so-called school system. They've been dumbed down into non-thinking status. They don't think. They just react to things. And the society is full of stimuli, and they go around reacting to it. That's it. They see, they want, they buy, if they can. And now a lot of them can't. They're in big trouble. This is going to be a rugged winter, and next year, well, from here on out, it's not going to change until the controllers are either forced to make a change or they get what they want and they decide they've had enough carnage. I don't know which is going to happen first. I really don't.
I'm not sure we're going to make the end of this year without our reality going upside down. It's important to understand the planet doesn't just stop supporting life overnight, but once it reaches the point where the power structure can't hide the severity and immediacy of what's unfolding, they're going to play much bigger cards that may include instigating a nuclear exchange to put enough particulate matter in the air to mask the imploding ozone layer slightly longer. They are desperate enough to do that. So again, I would argue we are very close to impact at full velocity. We need to do everything we can while we still have the time to act.
That's a really important point. There is no limit to restrain these global elite from doing what they want to do. There are no laws. They are above all laws. They're answerable to no one. They are the source of power on the planet. And what you see happening around you and what you don't see happening around you should be enough to keep you awake at night. And what I'm talking about just briefly is the number of people, and Dane mentioned VAERS. You all know VAERS, but you got to multiply it by about 99 to get an accurate number. We've had millions of dead here in this country, not 30,000 or whatever they're claiming. Millions. Who knows how many? They've got plausible deniability. They can name dozens of different diseases and disease states that, oh, he died of this, he died of that. But when you start to read the obituaries, and you'll see died unexpectedly, died in her sleep, died in the front yard pruning the roses, whatever. You got to start waking up. These shots are bioweapons, and they were administered with the full intent of reducing the world population. And they're also reducing the world's environmental assets in terms of population as well. I go back to what I said about the forest. When you were young, many of you listening, when you go into the forest, it was magical. It smelled magical. It felt like you were just in the most wonderful environment you could be in. And now it's like a dry hike. It's weird.
It is. It is. I agree with you on all points. And they're absolutely thinning the herd at, quote, warp speed. Biosphere collapse, I would argue, beat them to the intersection. It happened faster than they were prepared for it. Thus, their panic now, their frenzy to cull the herd as fast as they possibly can. Those that don't believe that will soon. So I simply encourage people to look at the data. That's all we've ever asked. The dimming is the one-stop proof of climate engineering. We need all the help we can get sharing that link because they're trying so hard to censor that information. If that doesn't wake somebody up, they're not going to wake up at this point. Please move on and share it with somebody else. But we need all the help we can get getting that documentary into circulation. We put it up for free the moment it was done. We put a tremendous amount of effort and expense into it. And again, our inarguable proof of climate engineering is in that film.
Dane, keep up the heroic work. You are one. There's no one else like you. You have made a huge difference. We need more help, but you have set the stage. Now it's our turn to help you. So let's get over there, geoengineeringwatch.org, and look at the dimming and share the dimming. And anything else on that page, it's a brilliant site. Thanks, my friend. Talk
soon. Team effort, Jeff. Team effort. Thank you, and to all your followers. Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Dane Wigington, and what a job. See, one person, what a job, what a result one person can create if one person is dedicated, and he is. So drop by and take a look at that site and share the materials. Priceless. Back with more in a minute. Hang on.